thanks for joining us for this podcast coming from Portland Christian Center, located in Portland, Oregon. In this podcast, Ray Noah, lead pastor here at the center, is continuing a new series called Simplify, Getting Back to the Basics of Simple Faith. The message for this podcast is titled Practicing the Presence of God, and the key Bible reference comes from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Now here's Ray.
There was a book that was written by a man whose name is Herb Miller. And Herb Miller wrote a book entitled Connecting with God. I want you to keep that title in mind. Just hold it in your thinking. Connecting with God. And in this book, Herb tells a story of the only church in a small town that called an all-night prayer meeting to oppose a seedy nightclub that had just opened on Main Street. And so this small church got its people together, and they had an all-night prayer session. And in that prayer meeting, they literally prayed that God would burn the nightclub down. Well, interestingly, within a few minutes of praying that, lightning struck the club and it burned to the ground. It really did. It burned completely to the ground. Well, the nightclub owner got wind that the church had prayed that prayer, had prayed against this club. And so he sued the church. And interestingly, the church denied any responsibility, you know, in the matter. So the case actually went before a judge who listened to both sides, heard both arguments, both sides of the argument, and he issued this judgment. And he said this, he said, wherever the fault may lie, it seems that the nightclub owner believes in prayer while the church does not. Yeah, yikes. You know, a disciple's most urgent duty, along with reflecting on Scripture, is to believe in prayer and to practice it. To believe in prayer and to practice it. Prayer is also the disciple's highest privilege. It's his or her greatest weapon, our most effective tool. It is the master key, if you will, to accessing everything of God, to accessing God's presence and God's power and God's provision. The master key to accessing God's presence, His power, and His provision. So if that is the case, then why doesn't the church, at least in North America, believe, as the judge said, why doesn't the North American church believe in prayer? Why don't you believe in prayer? Why don't you believe in prayer? You say, hey, wait a minute, I believe in prayer. Come on. I say, hey, the proof is in the practice. If you simply looked at the habits and the practices of the average American disciple, you'd have to conclude that their belief in prayer, and in churches as well, you'd have to conclude that their belief in prayer is more intellectual assent than hands-on experience. Now, I am not here today to add any more guilt to the prayerlessness of the American church. I'm not here to do that at all. I've said under ministries, I've said in sermons, I've listened to leaders do that, and they will guilt people because they don't pray enough. They will guilt churches that they don't, no matter how much you pray, you still feel guilty that we're not praying enough. But I think it's that guilt about prayerlessness, in part at least, the prayerlessness of the church, that is the very reason why we don't pray as Jesus invited us to pray. Guilt. Guilt along with poor modeling and misguided teaching and in cooperation with the resistance of our flesh and an enemy who throws everything at us, including the kitchen sink, to keep us from prayerlessness. Those are the real culprits of the fact that the church is pretty much prayerless today. The real culprits of our prayerlessness. But if you and I and we are to grow into the Christ-likeness that God has set before us this year, then we're going to have to deal with these culprits and enter into the practice of prayer like never before. You cannot grow into Christ-likeness. You cannot be like Jesus. You cannot experience spiritual growth without a prayer life, without the experience, the vital experience of prayer. So today, I would like for us to take what I hope is a fresh look at the old topic of prayer. And I'd like to look at it from the perspective of the master prayer, Jesus, who so irresistibly modeled and so compellingly taught prayer. So I'm going to ask you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. Probably the most exciting, motivating teaching on prayer you'll find anywhere. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and you say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil," in other words, though you are just flawed, fallen human beings, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, I want you to notice several things that Jesus modeled and taught in this passage that are essential to killing the culprits of prayerlessness and turning our experience of prayer from one of duty and discipline to one of delight. First of all, if we're going to do this, we have to understand that prayer is relational, not impersonal. If you're going to make the journey into the kind of prayer life that Jesus experienced, that he invites us to, first and foremost, most foundationally, you have to understand, you have to see prayer as relational, not impersonal. Jesus experienced prayer and invites us to experience it as fundamentally as an intimate encounter, not an impersonal activity, an intimate encounter. And so that's why we see in the very first verse of this passage that we're looking at that Jesus himself prayed. Now, when you think about it, that's very interesting. Jesus, as God's Son, as the second person of the Holy Trinity, the pre-existent member of the Godhead, didn't have to pray. He didn't have to. He's God. It's kind of like talking to himself, isn't it? He didn't have to pray. He got to pray. He wanted to, and he got to, because there was community within the triune God. They relate to one another. They connect to one another. There's intimate encounter amongst the Godhead. You'll also see that the very first word that Jesus said we're to use when we pray was what? Was Father. Look at verse 3 or verse 2. Father. It's also that word, that concept of Father, is the very last thing that, Jesus talks about. When you get to the end of this passage, he uses the analogy of a father-child relationship. So Jesus is teaching Jesus is teaching prayer, to use the title from Herb Miller's book, as connecting with God. I think that's a far better way to look at and to define and to explain prayer, as connecting with God. But more than that, Jesus shows that it's not just connecting with God, but it is connecting with a Father who longs to connect with you. Connecting with a Father who longs to connect with you. If you don't understand prayer as relational connectivity, you will always see prayer as an activity that you're required to do as a disciple. And you'll likely approach it, if you approach it at all, with a mindset of overcoming a distant deity who is reluctant to hear and to answer your prayer. If you don't understand the relational connectivity, that I've got to overcome this distant deity's reluctance to hear me and to answer me, and you will wrongly assume that the asking and the seeking and the knocking that Jesus talked about in these verses is an activity that you do till you're blue in the face in order to overcome. To overcome and wear God down. To overcome God's reluctance and to wear him down. But if you see prayer fundamentally as a way for a dependent child to engage in a caring parent. Now, for some of you, that's going to be a tough hill to climb because you didn't have an experience of a caring parent. Maybe your experience of mom or dad was one of reluctance, was one of resistance, was one of, you know, you got to work your way and work to keep yourself in their favor. You've got to overcome the odds. They're mean-spirited. They're distant. If that's you, that's your concept of parent-child relationship, you're going to have to work hard, and God will help you to overcome that, because that's not the way God is. Because when you understand God as caring Father who longs to be connected to you, then you will know that prayer has nothing to do with either being a required activity or overcoming his reluctance. Rather, you will see it as pressing into a Father who longs for you to access his unlimited and his willing generosity. Unlimited and willing generosity. That's why I think that it's a much better way to think of prayer is in terms of the way Brother Lawrence, who was a 17th century Carmelite monk, described it. He described it as practicing the presence of God. You ever heard that term before? Beautiful term, and it really does describe what prayer is. Jesus experienced it and defined it and invites us to experience it. What prayer really is. It is practicing the presence of God. I want to challenge you, especially this week that we've devoted to prayer. I would like to challenge you to think about this from here on out, but especially this week that you would think of prayer that way, that you would go about your day, even in your ordinary moments, when you wake up, when you're making the bed, hopefully you do that, when you brush your teeth, when you're combing your hair, when you're getting into the car, when you're driving to work or you're going to school and you're opening your locker or coming back home or whatever you do, even in the most ordinary, unguarded moments, that you would include God in the experience. You would say, Father, what do you think about this? You would say, Abba, oh, thank you for that. Thank you that you blessed me with a beautiful sunrise or sunset or the beautiful snow that's white and covering the ground. Or thank you, Father, thank you for your goodness. Or even, Father, thank you. That was tough, but thank you because I know you've promised that you'll use that for my good to shape me into what Jesus looks like. Or at times you'll say, God, I'm going to need your help with this because I just don't get it. I don't have the strength to handle it. I don't know what to do. God, I need your help. That's called practicing the presence of God, including him in your everyday, ordinary, continual moments. That is based on and energized by and even builds up the personal connection that God invites you to have with him. Prayer is not impersonal. It's personal. It's relational. foundationally come to see it that way, and you'll want to, you won't have to, but you'll want to engage in prayer. Number two, we need to see prayer as simple and not complex. Simple, not complex. Did you notice that the Lord's Prayer that Luke includes here in verses 2, 3, and 4 is much shorter and more concise than the one that we've learned from Matthew's version in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 14 of the Lord's Prayer? Did you happen to notice some words were missing? Some phrases weren't there that you're accustomed to praying as you pray the Lord's Prayer? Now listen, you're wondering, well, why doesn't Luke include that? I don't believe it was the result of some editor condensing Luke's prayer so that we could fit it into a Twitter tweet or a Facebook post because we only have so much space to do that. I think this was a strategic move by the Holy Spirit who intentionally led Luke to write a shorter version of it precisely to remind us, to show us, that prayer as Jesus taught it is a very simple thing. It reminds us that the simpler the prayer is, the more it aligns with the practice of prayer that Jesus engaged in. And it becomes more and more what the Father desires of us. The simpler you get, the more it pleases the Father. The more personal and intimate a relationship is, the less convoluted and confusing and complex it is. That's a big part of the beauty and the universal appeal of the Lord's Prayer. It's so simple. Isn't that amazing how simple it is? I mean, really, it goes something like this. Father, you're awesome. Give me what I need. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to forgive others. Keep me from evil. That's about it. Amen. And Jesus says, that's the world's greatest prayer. That's the world's most powerful, effective, God-pleasing prayer. I don't know about you, but when I see prayer as both relational and simple, I don't want to pray less. It makes me want to pray more. When I realize I can practice the presence of God relationally, simply, doesn't it make you want to pray more, not less? Boy, it does me. Third, we also need to see prayer as a collective experience and not just as an individual expression. A collective experience and not just an individual expression. Notice the emphasis in this passage on the plural. In verse 1, we see that one of the disciples came to Jesus and after watching Jesus pray and requested, one disciple requested, Lord, teach us to pray. You'll also notice in the Lord's Prayer in verses 3 and 4, the emphasis again is on the plurality, the collectiveness, or on us. Give us each day. He didn't teach to pray, Lord, give me today my daily bread. He said, give us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. You and I are invited to connect with God as individuals anytime, in any place, 24/7. And that is a great and an appropriate thing. But I don't want us to forget that we're also called to experience prayer together. There is a corporateness to prayer that is expected and that is so powerful, whether at one time in one place, like we're going to experience on this Friday night, or whether it's something that we do together as in a collective, as a collective assignment, even though we're not in the same place. There's something appropriate and beautiful and powerful about collective prayer. That's why we have corporate prayer times at Portland Christian Center. That's why that even within a service like this, we will have prayer a number of times. Sometimes we pray to open the service. Sometimes we pray during worship. We pray the pastoral prayer at the end of worship. Sometimes we pray before the sermon. We always pray at the end of the sermon. You might go, why do you pray all the time? Doesn't one prayer just do it? Well, yeah, it does, but there's a corporateness to prayer that's vital, that when we come together, we are to pray. That's why we call you down to the front and allow people to pray over you, which we didn't do today, but I'm going to do it at the end of the service. And if anything is, if it's like the last service, it's going to be a powerful time of just praying for one another's needs. There's a corporateness to prayer that is wholly appropriate. All of the ministries that I know of in our church, the departments, have their own prayer ministries, not in competition to the whole prayer ministry, but each the choir has a prayer ministry with prayer teams. The women's ministry has a prayer ministry with prayer teams. I even talked to Pastor Aaron, our middle school pastor, this week, and he said they have a prayer ministry for middle schoolers. And they have a prayer team, and when needs come from the kids, the students, or from their families, they send them out to the prayer team. And what an amazing, wonderful thing that even our junior high department, you're wondering, what do they do? Well, that's one of the things that they do that's so powerful, corporate prayer. And that's why we've designed a vast array of new prayer opportunities or new prayer venues this year for this journey of growth that we're on that I'm excited about, because the more we engage in prayer, the more God can do in us and among us and through us. I want to mention four things that are brand new that I want to, by way of invitation, that I would hope that you would hook up with in terms of our corporate prayer. We've created them just for you. One is on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 p.m., this sanctuary is open for corporate prayer. It's not led by anyone. There's not anyone doing a message or a lesson or... It's just unguided, non-hosted corporate prayer. You can come in, you can spend the whole hour, you can spend 5 minutes, but just come in. Music's playing. I think there's some stuff rolling on the screens. It's an opportunity for you to connect with Father in His house. Other people may or may not be, but it's a way for us to do that. I love what Jesus said, and it must always be so for us. He said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." He didn't say it'll be a house of music. He didn't say it'll be a house of teaching. He didn't say it'll be a house of pancakes. He said it will be a house of prayer. All those other things other than the pancakes are fine. They're appropriate. But primarily, he said, it will be a house of prayer. And so I would encourage you to come and to help us to make it a house of prayer. And you have a way in the middle of the week to come in and to fill up the tank and to get ready for the next half of the week until we come together on Sunday in that corporate venue. The second one is this Friday night. Linda mentioned, and I also mentioned, that we're going to break our prayer, our week of prayer in fasting, by gathering at 7:14 p.m. to seek God together. Linda quoted the verse 7:14. That's why we're doing it at 7:14 p.m. You know, God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear. I'll heal their land. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. How many of you think our land needs some healing right now? Yeah, our nation does. Our community does. Our families do. Our land needs healing. And we have a way and an open invitation to see healing come through God's people coming together to pray. Hope you'll join us, 7:14 on Friday. The third one is the prayer wall. It's new to Portland Christian Center, the prayer wall that is now on our website. You can go to that site on our webpage, Portland Christian Center webpage, and you can post your prayer needs to that wall. And then you can see how other people are praying for you. Not by name, but you see the number of people that have clicked onto that and said, I'm praying for that need. I got up early this morning and I went to that and I prayed through a couple of pages of needs. And when I got through praying, I was able just to click that, and the number of the counter went up. And it was so meaningful to me. I mean, it was different than when I'm just praying over the list and other times, but to pray specifically and then to take an action to let that person know someone's been praying for you. Was so powerful to me. And people will do that for you if you go put your needs on there, and you can do that for them. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, commands us to carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What a great way to care for each other's burdens. You know what the law of Christ is? The law of Christ is to love. We talked about that last week. It is to love. Love means that we will care for, we will carry each other's concerns and burdens. And when we do that, we're loving them. And Christ's love is filling our hearts as we do it as well. So I hope that you will begin to take advantage of and participate with us in the prayer wall. I think it's an amazing thing. And then finally, I don't know if you knew this, but our deacon board has a prayer ministry. We call it the Deacon's Prayer Council, the Deacon Prayer Ministry. And each of our 8 deacons has a team of men who pray over the church. In particular, they pray on Sunday mornings for the church service. They have prayed. We have prayed for this service today, for you and your experience today. They pray from 8:30 to 8:45 every Sunday. That's all, just 15 minutes. Each of the 8 guys is assigned a different week. They have a different team, so they rotate through. And only once every 8 weeks for 15 minutes. That's all it is. They pray. Now, I want to challenge you. Men of the church, I want to challenge you. There is an invite card in your bulletin today. I hope you'll take it out and look at it. Men of the church, look at this. Women of the church, make sure the man next to you has this card in his hand. And make sure he fills it out. There is no reason why the men of this church can't be on one of these 8 prayer teams and pray for 15 minutes once every 8 weeks. Can you tell me why that would not be possible? It is absolutely possible. So I'm going to challenge you to sign up for this corporate prayer venue, men. And you can do that by filling out the card and handing it to an usher on the way out, and we'll contact you with the week that you're scheduled to pray 15 minutes with a group of men and led by a deacon. Listen, don't underestimate the power of a praying man. This church needs praying men. I know we need praying women. We need everyone to be praying, obviously. But there's something about the leadership role, the ministry that God has called men to, that is powerful. Powerful. Don't underestimate that. Don't underestimate your role if you're a man. Whether you're an older man or a younger man or a single man or married man or a teenage man, don't underestimate the power of your role in praying. If you want this church to be healthier, if you want God's power to be displayed in our services, you need to be on this team. If you want my preaching to be better, if you don't pray, it's your fault. If you want my sermons to be shorter, it's not going to happen, but you can pray anyway. Don't underestimate the power of a praying man. So get on board, guys. Get on board. I love what Acts chapter 12 says about the early church. When Peter, the Apostle Peter, was in prison for preaching the gospel, and they were going to execute him ASAP. It says, and the church was earnestly praying. I bet Peter was glad for that, especially. The church was earnestly praying. I hope that will be true of Portland Christian Center. And I hope that it will be true, especially of the men of Portland Christian Center. They were earnestly praying. Together, earnestly praying. So see prayer as a corporate experience, not just as an individual engagement. Last thing. Finally, I hope that we will come to see prayer as fruitful and not just dutiful. Yeah, it's a duty we have. We have a duty to pray. But I hope more than that, you will see it as something that is incredibly fruitful. You think about what Jesus said in John chapter 15. I'd encourage you to read this, the whole chapter, but especially in verses 5 through 8. He says, look, Jesus said, look, if you remain in me, if you get connected with me and stay connected to me, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish. Now, we don't use that term wish very often in Christian circles, you know? We don't throw it. But Jesus said it. You can ask what you wish, and it shall be done. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, that he gives you the fruit of what you're asking for, the divine life flowing through you and the fruit that comes and God answering your prayer. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The most incredible witness to a watching world is to see fruit-bearing disciples, to see Christians getting their needs met and their desires met and God answering their prayer. The world goes, wow, I want some of that. And Jesus goes on to say, and this will make your joy complete. I guess so. When God is answering your prayers, wow, your joy will be complete. When we understand the flow of divine life and the supernatural resource that comes into play when we pray, the culprits of prayerlessness that I mentioned will not be able to keep us, to keep you from prayer. When you understand the fruit that is born when you pray, it'll take a team of horses to drag you away from prayer. Think about what Jesus promised in the passage that we've looked at, just that passage alone. Not only will we get what we need, in the analogy of the friend that comes at night, he says he'll give you what you need. Not only will we get what we need, not only will we receive what we're asking and find what we've been seeking and have a breakthrough into that which has been previously locked out from. Jesus said at the very end of this passage, best of all, not that those aren't good, but best of all, we will get the Holy Spirit when we ask. We will get the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of ways that we could interpret that theologically, but here's one that I think is important for us to understand today. In other words, when Jesus said, we will get the Holy Spirit, we will receive the Holy Spirit, in other words, God himself will come alongside us and indwell us and enable us to navigate life as he desires us to experience it. God comes along for the ride. He's with us, he's in us, he's for us. And we then will experience the sweetest fruit of prayer possible. You know what that is? The sweetest fruit of prayer is prayer itself. You know why? Because you are connecting with the Father who longs to connect with you. Relationally, simply, powerfully, productively. Connecting with the Father who longs to connect with us. Church, God still hears and answers prayer. That's a great place for a corporate amen. Come on, man. God still hears and answers prayer. Good. I may let you go now. A friend of mine in California, one of our deacons, was fond of saying when we came to moments where God had shown up and answered prayer, he would say, jokingly but truthfully, he would say, wow, this prayer thing works. It does. This prayer thing works. And so I hope that you will try it, because the Father is just waiting to answer your prayers. He is. I get reports almost weekly from Ethiopia about answered prayer, some real miracles. I've shared some of them with you. The dead being raised, the sick being healed, the lame walking, the blind restored. Miracles, signs and wonders, demons cast out of village witch doctors, and all of this is to get the attention of the village that God has shown up and he is to be followed. You come into those contexts and you try to argue the kingdom of God into being, it won't happen. But when you show the power of God, they pay attention. Maybe we need a little bit more of that here too. One of the strangest, this is not too long ago, one of the strangest testimonies I got was about a guy that walked into a village, and his way of demonstrating the power of God was to pray over a cow that had died. And God raised the cow from the dead. Now, you got to understand that in that context, it's not just some dumb dead cow. This is the means of support to some family. This is their whole economic system. And it had died. And the church planter raise the cow from the dead. I guess it mooed and got up and produced milk or something. I don't know, but anyways. I thought about that about a month and a half ago. It was the 1st of December, and our family pet, the infamous Jake the Wiener Dog, came into my, what my kids call my meditation room. It's my office and at home. And I was studying. It was, you know, no one else was at home, and I think it was in the morning, and he came into my my office, and he bumped my leg with his nose to get my attention. I thought it strange, but I didn't, momentarily didn't think anything of it. And then I thought, he wants my attention. And so I looked down and I realized that Jake was scared. I saw a look of panic in his eyes, and I realized that he was going into a seizure, which regularly happens with Jake. We've gone through that with Jake since we've had him. And the seizures are absolutely violent seizures. I mean, just scary stuff. And so he was going into a seizure. He started to seize up. And so I got on the floor with him, and I hugged him tightly, and I began to pray. I was inspired, and I thought of this, I was inspired by the simple faith and the shameless audacity of that guy praying for the dead cow. And that, if they can pray for a dead cow in Ethiopia, why can't I pray for a dog that's having a seizure? And why won't God answer my prayer as much as he answers the simple faith, the shameless audacity of Ethiopian church planters? And the miracles that always attend, the prayer, the shameless, bold prayer that always attends their miracle stories. And so I began to pray. I began to take authority over Jake's seizure. I commanded his little brain to function normally. I rebuked the evil one's harassment of one of God's little creatures. I claimed healing in Jesus' name. And within seconds, Jake relaxed. Now, when he's going in a seizure, he's stiff and contorted and shaking. And he immediately relaxed. He licked my face, which wasn't so pleasant. And he was completely normal. Now, that is in itself is unusual because the seizures are always, as I said, quite violent, and they last 4 to 5 minutes. Jake has been seizure-free since then. He's got other personal issues. Lots of them. But he is seizure-free. A healing? I say yes. That God would care about and answer a prayer and heal one of his fuzzy little critters? I think so. So let me ask you, what is the compelling need of your life right now? What is it that you need from God? This prayer thing works. God still hears and answers prayer. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come. I'm going to ask our deacons and our pastors and their spouses and people on our prayer team to come down to the front. I think John's going to come to the piano. And we're going to end with a call to prayer to the front. So team, come on down. Now, in a moment, we're going to stand and I'm going to dismiss you. Because if you don't want to come for prayer, that's fine. You don't have to sit there, and you can go home and make a snowman. But if you have something that you need God to touch you for, a healing for somebody else, a deliverance, a breakthrough, an encouragement, I don't know. We have oil down here, anointing oil, that we will anoint you and pray over you. And the God who heals dead cows and seizing dogs cares about you. In fact, he cares about you more, I think Jesus said. So we're going to pray, and you watch. I'm telling you, you watch what God does. Would you stand with me, please? And let me just pray and dismiss you if you need to go, and then invite you to come down to the front. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you answer prayer. And I thank you that you've invited us to come into prayer. What a privilege it is. And I pray that forevermore we will see it as a relationship, as connecting with you, as practicing your presence, that is something that's not a duty, but it is a joy and it is a fruitful experience. And that when we pray, you will move heaven and earth to meet our needs. And you will delightfully do that because it honors you and it shows the world that you love us and it makes our joy complete. So God, as we go today from this place, I pray that we will practice your presence in our moment-by-moment lives all week long. Do incredible things among us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast with Ray Noah, lead pastor at the center, continuing his brand new series called Simplify, Getting Back to the Basics of Simple Faith. To help you further, take time to look at the outline available with this podcast. If you live in the Portland, Oregon area and are looking for a place to connect, or you're coming to our area, you can find out more information about our service times and programs right here on our website at pcctoday.com.